Okay, I saw that. How about the other one?
No.
Oh, no, there isn't one. All right. Okay, I will call the next case. It is Lawrence Paul St. Marie versus Leslie Bodigheimer et al. And we only have one attorney arguing in this case, and that is, we have two attorneys? No, we have one attorney, Mr. Bray. Okay, we can't hear you. What should he do?
I'm turning on the mic now.
All right, we can hear you now.
I was just asking somebody to close the door.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, you're not going to get any rebuttal, but you will get 15 minutes and you may proceed. And please do identify yourselves for the record and for us.
Thank you, Your Honor. John Bray appearing for the appellant in this matter.
Leslie Bodigheimer.
Brian Bridge.
Oh no. Okay. They're pro se, and we won't be hearing arguments from the pro se parties. But you may proceed, Mr. Bray.
Thank you. May it please the court. And Your Honors, I'm going to be very, very brief. This is, you know, in spite of the kind of tortured procedural posture of this case and the record, I think there are two issues that I'd like the court to come away with and reverse and remand this matter back to trial court. Although my belief is that the court made a number of errors, I think there are only two that justify a reversal. First is the court did not apply the Truth and Repairs Act to this matter, and I think that's an error of law. And secondly, the court misstated and misapplied the rule pertaining to damages. And before I get going, do you have an echo in your in the courtroom or not?
We do not. You're hearing an echo?
I'm hearing my own voice echoing back to me, which is kind of odd.
It is odd, and I'm sure it's very annoying. The attorney before you didn't complain about it, and I don't know what to suggest.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll just make my argument then. First, with respect to the Truth in Repairs Act, and particularly with respect to appellant Bodigheimer, the court determined that Mr. Bodigheimer was not entitled to any damages, and he was seeking damages for what he called a storage fee. Well, the storage fee itself was not agreed upon. It wasn't even discussed prior to Mr. Bodigheimer working on the vehicles. And what the court determined is because those weren't repairs that the Truth in Repairs Act didn't cover this situation, and I disagree. First of all, under 325 F56 definition, subdivision 2, repairs means work performed for a total price of more than $100 and less than $7,500, including the price of parts and materials to restore a malfunctioning, defective, or worn motor vehicle. And that's the applicable part of the definition. That's plain and obvious that that's what happened here. He had vehicles that he repaired for the appellant.
I thought you were asking for attorney's fees on the storage.
No, I'm asking for attorney's fees because the Truth in Repairs Act was violated, and it was violated not because of the repairs per se or lack of an estimate, et cetera, et cetera. It was violated because if you take a look at subdivision 325F61, that section requires that vehicles be returned promptly.
All right, but that wait a section... minute. As far as the court hearing in this matter, I thought an invoice was provided on behalf of your client for storage.
There was an invoice provided for storage, but it wasn't something that was agreed to in advance. And the court found that it wasn't agreed to in advance, and it necessitated my client having to engage in request for injunctive relief to get the vehicles returned to him after the repairs were made. And without payment of the storage fees. And if you take a look at 325F61, it says that a shop shall return to a customer upon reasonable demand the customer's repaired motor vehicle if the customer pays the shop's bill, except, and then it goes on from there. But to suggest that because the only bill that was left being disputed was a storage fee means that the Truth in Repairs Act is not applicable to Mr. Bodigheimer's claim for storage fees, I think runs contrary to what the Act says. If that were true, there wouldn't be a provision in here requiring the return of a vehicle after payment of the bill. And as the court determined, Mr. Bodenheimer was not entitled to a storage fee. Now, with respect to the issue of damages, my brief does cover it, and I don't want to belabor what's already in my brief, but the court here determined that the damages presented by my client at trial were speculative and conjectural because he did not actually pay for the repairs. They weren't out-of-pocket costs. That's not the law. The law doesn't require you to pay to incur the actual out-of-pocket costs in order to make a claim for damages. And to that extent, that would mean that the invoices and estimates provided by my client would not be speculative. They wouldn't be conjectural, but actually should be considered a measure of damages. And that aspect of the trial ought to be reversed and remanded back to the trial court for a proper application of the damages rule. That's all I have, Your Honors.
All right, thank you very much, and
we appreciate
your approach, and the matter is taken under advisement. Thank you.
Thank you.
And this court is now